personal trainer of the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program that's designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first Saturday of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. Today's show, I'm going to share some wisdom with you from my past 30 years of experience in the business world and relate that into something that I talk about rather frequently, which is what organizations need to be doing in order to survive and thrive. So this is kind of another in my series of trying to help you survive and thrive in the changing landscape of challenges that organizations of all shapes and sizes and flavors are being presented with. So let's get started. I'm going to give you a little background on why what I'm going to tell you about is so darned important. Businesses now are faced with challenges, I think, more than ever before, associated with finding employees who are reliable, who are capable, dependable, trustworthy, and they are spending entirely too much time. Businesses are spending too much time dealing with the management of those challenges. So a lot of variability in having the right staff available to do the right services for customers or to be there to build the right products for customers at the right time. So there's a lot of challenges, and you see that you see a lot of organizations doing robotics as a result of it. And in the AI era, which is where we're at, what is going to happen, I think, is that organizations will be decoupling a lot of their business processes from being dependent upon specialty labor. And when I say specialty labor, I mean, I'm talking about labor where you wrote a job description and someone needed to have some skill set to do something, as opposed to just any old random person off the street being able to do something. There's some level of specialty skill set that they have. You know, and I'm not talking about using AI to, you know, eliminate human creativity. I'm absolutely not using that. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But I am saying that there are some massive problems that employers have, regardless of whether it's a nonprofit or a for-profit. Doesn't really matter, I think. Most of these organizations have the same problems, at least in my observation. And there are foundational pieces that have to be in place in order for them to be able to utilize AI effectively. One of the things that's happening right now is a lot of organizations lack, in fact, I'd argue the vast majority of organizations lack operational maturity, which has led them to a situation where they're not ready for AI, but yet they haven't made the decision to block it or to even have a policy around it. There is a lack of executive management wanting to put constraints and guardrails around things. Spending time thinking about protecting the company assets or protecting the customer's data is seen by a lot of, especially sales executives, as something that isn't helping sales at all. And the sales executives in an organization are generally the ones that are driving the agenda in an organization, unless you're talking about a technologist-driven organization by people who were fundamentally engineers from the very beginning, that might be the exception to that. So usually organizations are sales driven. And so whatever the perceived needs and wants are of sales executives, that tends to be what gets the most amount of attention. And it's fairly rare for them to be pushed back. What I mean by pushed back is that they want to use whatever is the cool new sexy thing that they think is going to help them be competitive. And when you're dealing with an organization that lacks a very strong, empowered, and supported chief technology officer, there is no one in the organization that is pushing back on the adoption of dangerous technologies. And I do mean dangerous technologies. AI can be exceedingly dangerous. You could have a situation where an employee who hasn't been provided a policy about AI use, and they're able to access it because it's not getting blocked because, you know, some sales executive decided that they needed to have access to it. Or you have, you know, some salesperson who's like, you know, the world is going to melt down. I can't possibly do my job. This is a real thing. I hear this, you know, like they just, I can't do my job at all unless I have access to ChatGPT. And I, you know, I think to myself, what did you do before ChatGPT? What happened to your use of and command of the English language? You know, what happened to your ability to use spreadsheets, you know, and Word documents? You know, and what happened with that? You know, so there's some silliness obviously that's involved there as well. But it's all about that company culture. These organizations are rarely putting forth a policy around AI and then requiring employees to do training so that they know what to do and what not to do with AI, because even the slightest improper use of AI is basically taking company confidential data, employee confidential data, customer confidential data, trade secrets, you name it, all kinds of things. It's taking those things and it's now putting it effectively in the public sphere through the use of something like ChatGPT. There are no guardrails on AI like that. Now, the consensus in the technology space is basically this. And I'll let me caveat a little bit further. The technology space of people who I think are that have the credibility to have an opinion that should be considered, because obviously there's, you know, a lot of horse hockey that gets bantied about. So the technologists whose opinions are actually worth listening to have two general statements about AI. The first one is that you have to be very concerned about losing your company data and increasing massive amounts of risk when you're utilizing an AI that you can't control the boundaries on. So the use of anything that is like ChatGPT needs to be, you're running your own AI instance. So you're not utilizing a subscription model to something where you upload the data, your data, and it now gets combined with, you know, the master, you know, basically publicly available data set. Okay, so that's literally where your employees are breaching your company through the use of AI. And the other thing that the technologists are saying about it is that there's really only one company right now that is democratizing AI. So when I say democratizing AI, I'm saying that you can actually put secure guardrails around it, but it can be utilized for a financially amenable amount of money on a monthly basis or an annual basis. So it's, you can have both components that you need for it to be usable and workable. One, you can have the security aspects around it, but you can also then have accessibility because it's affordable. If you had to rev up your own separatized, you know, AI instance where you had to host that yourself on your own server infrastructure and such, that is way outside the scope of the wheelhouse of even many organizations that have full-time internal IT departments and whose revenue is over $500 million a year in revenue. You know, it's all about whether or not you're deeply technology-centered, and the vast majority of organizations are not. Okay, so how do you put some boundaries and guardrails around the use of AI so you can benefit from it without it becoming a risk and breach factor for you? Well, you have to control your data. You have to control the bounds of your data, who has access to the data, what can be done with that data. Well, when you reflect upon that, it becomes very obvious that it's required to use technologies like data loss prevention, digital rights management, automatic sensitivity labeling, and a whole host of other protective features, which are bluntly very difficult to implement and very time consuming to implement. It can be done, but I feel very confident in saying that most likely anyone with less technical skill than I have is going to significantly struggle with that. And simultaneously, it cannot be simply a one and done sort of project that a business hires somebody like myself to do for them. It's a paradigm shift for the organization. And most organizations are not ready for it. So I'm going to recap here because I know this is a little complicated. If you're going to be ready for AI, if you're going to use AI in your organization, whether you're nonprofit, for-profit, doesn't matter to me. What matters is that you're risk management. You're doing good risk management because you have a legal obligation to not take employee data, customer data, and just shove it out there into the internet and to the public space, which is effectively what somebody is doing when they take that kind of data and they throw it into something like ChatGPT. Unless, of course, you're running your own ChatGPT instance, okay, which I already said was prohibitive, is cost prohibitive. And that is not what 99.9% of organizations are doing. Okay, they're not running their own AI instance. So what becomes the success model? We're talking about data retention policies, data classification policies, data sensitivity labels, the technical implementations of those, a governance system, people being organized, standards must exist, policies must exist. And fundamentally, the culture of a company has to change. It has to become more operationally mature. And they have to drive towards a culture of seeking to be more efficient, more transparent, more operationally mature. And ultimately, the result of that is profitability goes up. So I was working on a presentation for a business group to teach them about why they should be driving cultural change in their organization towards profitability and operational maturity. And I reflected upon the fact that, wow, this is all just a prerequisite to being ready for AI. So there's a ton of converging reasons why organizations need to do this, but I'll give you one more. I encountered an article that was talking about how Generation Z faces a difficult labor market due to AI and their own bad habits. And in this article, it talks about the bad habits that Generation Z oftentimes has, not all, but certainly a significant enough percentage of Generation Z workers, to the point where it has managed to matriculate to become an article published about it. And it's basically talking about how it's so difficult for employers to get economic value from those employees to the point where there is more pain for them to have that employee than not having that employee. So they'd rather deal with the gap of not having somebody to fulfill whatever those job functions are versus the pain of having that person there. So they're absolutely in the perspective of those employers, they had hired people and then gotten to the point where they realized that it's literally costing us way too much money to have these employees. Not only were those employees not profitable, they weren't contributing towards profitability, but they were also taking the company negative, right? They were negatively impacting profitability. So it wasn't even a break-even thing. And as a result, they got terminated. In an effort for organizations to get to the point where they can become more resilient to the impacts of those fluctuations, you know, we all would love to find more golden unicorns, and they are a far and few between. And so there's been this shift towards, well, let's do better training. And I think training is absolutely center to these efforts to solving these problems. But there's a bigger issue at hand. And the issue at hand is actually operational maturity. So the organization simultaneously has to become more operationally mature, but they have to drive all of the staff behavior to align with those things. So I'm talking about policies, standards, processes, intentional resiliency, intentional business continuity, intentional actions towards total quality management, you know, intentional actions towards establishing KPIs, which are key performance indicators, and then measuring towards KPIs. And so if what you're hearing now is you're like, oh no, you know, the MBAs have taken over and they're going to bean counter us to death. Yeah, I mean, there is some of that. There is some of that. But please don't think what I'm saying is that. I don't think that an organization can just have a CFO run it and have that organization be successful, because there's a whole bunch of intangible things that are very, very difficult to put a quantifiable metric around. However, in the world of AI, if there are these systems and business process builder integrators, people like myself that understand the facets of the whole business, we're not just strictly technologists. We're people who understand every facet of the business. Take those people and put them in a position to be able to establish KPIs, establish the systems that drive that transparency, right? I said transparency earlier. You do have to measure things in a business, but you have to know that the things that you're measuring are actually contributing to your objectives without causing other negative side effects. I'll give you a great example of this. Let's say you have a help desk team and their KPI is time to close the ticket and how many tickets they close that week. I'm not saying that those metrics are not valuable. I'm saying that if that's what you're evaluating and nothing else, and you don't have any other controls or oversight involved, then basically quality can go to the toilet, because there's those two things that I said, you know, time to ticket closing and how many tickets the person closed that week. Those are not correlated to the problem actually being solved. The other thing that could very easily get lost in that is you're driving the incentive for a help desk person to ignore or downplay something that they noticed that was an indicator of a bigger issue that needed to be proactively handled. And how you do that is a subject for another day and another discussion. So I want to go over this driving your cultural change to operational maturity, and thereby you are going to achieve higher profitability. And I set the stage here for you about why you really need to be doing this, because you can't be adopting AI without doing this, because you're putting your company's data and your customers' data and your employees' data at risk if you don't do this. And then your employees, when you don't have that operational maturity and you don't have the controls and guidelines in place, your employees become your biggest risk factor. And I see it time and time and time again. So let's get into this, and I'll probably do part two on this, because there, I'm going to give you a lot of like tangible things you can do to get yourself to the point where you're ready to go with AI. Okay, so we've already talked about some of the problems that have to do with not having operational maturity, and those things all directly impact profitability. And if you're saying, oh, well, we're a nonprofit, you still have to get things done and drive outcomes and stay within budget, right? So that's still profitability. If you're a nonprofit, you're still running a P&L. You're still trying to be, I hope, efficient with the resources that you have. And I see this across probably 450 different businesses that I've done consulting work with over the last 30 years, okay? All the same problems. They all have the same problems. Different variations of it, but you know, they all have the same problems. So if you think this isn't applicable to you, my data bank of personal experience would say otherwise. They have underutilized resources, which is effectively like lighting payroll on fire. Well, that doesn't help anybody. Inconsistent outcomes. So if you're like a customer service centered sort of business, or you're building product, either way, you need to have your team delivering outcome consistency in accordance with your standards. You need your team to not be engaging in policy violations. You don't want them to be engaging in things that increase risk for an organization. You probably have some level of compliance that you need to adhere to. There are probably circumstances where you have customer contracts that have terms and conditions that you don't want to be in breach of contract with your customer because your company didn't meet those compliance requirements. And compliance requirements are not just simply like a framework. You know, it's like, oh, well, we don't have to comply with SOC 2. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, it's not, I'm not talking about ISO 27001. I'm talking about anything that has been a promise that you've made to your customers. Your revenue stream is now contingent upon that. Okay. One of the other big things that I think businesses really need to be paying attention to is I see so many bad decisions that have a horrifically financially and otherwise across the board adverse impact when they're afraid of firing somebody. They're afraid of the adverse business impact due to the loss of somebody that they think is a key employee. I've seen like some of the most deranged, destructive things happen to organizations years and years and years because they can't get themselves to decouple their business success from a person. And it's all because of a lack of operational maturity. Okay. Well, let's just talk about what you're doing in terms of demand or expenditures that you're doing on a monthly basis, typically per employee, without talking about their salary. So, you know, we all know that they have salary, there's base payroll, FICA, workers' comp, unemployment, there's your payroll processing expense, your HR management expense, vacations, other benefits, et cetera. Right. That's all kind of like derived as a function based upon their salary. Now, if you look at like the rest of everything else, it's you have business insurance, you have an office, you have some technology, you know, you have all of these tools that you've given to an employee so that they can be facilitated to do a job. What I find is that that dollar amount on a monthly basis ranges between $300 to $400 per employee per month. And I'm assuming here that we're talking about people that we're giving a computer to, okay? I am not talking about line workers in a factory. So let's just be clear there. You know, I'm not talking about people who are retail checkout cashiers, right? I'm talking about people that are deemed knowledge workers. You give them a computer and you expect them to use the computer to do things with the computer. There's a whole suite of tools that come with that, and that's anywhere from $300 to $400 per month per employee, and that is in the U.S. Midwest where I'm coming up with those numbers. For a business to be profitable, what they should be doing is looking at their fully loaded cost from that employee on a monthly basis, so salary and all of those other things I talked about, you know, plus their per month fees that are other indirect expenses. And they should be doing a 3 to 4x multiple of that employee to say, okay, well, we have to cover SG&A. We have to cover a lot of other business expenses that are associated with our operations. And each employee needs to contribute towards that. So that fully loaded cost on a per month per employee basis, take 3 to 4x of that. And that is the kind of ROI that you should be getting on a monthly basis from each employee. And if you're not, then, you know, that's a problem. So it's almost always a combinatory product of things that the organization needs to be doing better and things that the employee needs to do better. So there's a shared responsibility model towards profitability for darn sure. But if you're going to try and get your hands around this and start to get motivated about it and start to drive like cultural change through your organization to make these things happen, getting some metrics and getting some understanding about the amount of money you're lighting on fire, it matters a lot. I mean, I've seen circumstances where a single employee is the reason for a massive breach that costs a company, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, way more than that, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, one employee. Okay. And I've also seen plenty of circumstances where due to a lack of operational maturity and due to an executive management team who wants to put entirely too much trust in one person, they will light hundreds of thousands of dollars on fire and won't even bat an eye about it. And that, in my opinion, damages everybody else in the organization. So that's a deficient leadership, in my opinion. Even in nonprofits, you want to be efficient so that you can provide wage increases while remaining within budget. And we also want staff to continually improve their skills to warrant being the recipient of a pay increase. You know, they want pay increases each year. Well, we need them to improve their skills. So all of this is about utilization, and utilization matters in an organization. This isn't just about the profitability of a company. This is also about employees should be thinking that they should be motivated to do these things and help the organization along this effort as well, because that correlates with them getting a pay increase. So I'm out of time for today, and I'll cover the rest of this in part two.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first Saturday of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, go to her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
Support for WGTD comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. ADRC provides free memory screen Mondays for those concerned about memory changes.